Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide on digital, online, and 101.5 FM. I'm Claire here with Adrian and Clayton, Billy on the panel, and we're missing Chin tonight, who's busy working.
Missing you terribly, Chin. Okay, tonight on Songcatcher, we are meeting Kia Lanigan and Jacob Tangdahl, who make up dream pop duo Dean Forever. We will find out a little bit more about what dream pop is, as well as how it's done as we progress through this evening. But first of all, welcome Kia and Jacob.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks a lot.
I have to say, Claire, you have an excellent radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
Like, you didn't say much to us as we walked in, so I didn't really get it. But, oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. She's saving that up for the real show.
Yeah.
So, are we going to have to go into some sort of hypnotic trance or simply fall asleep tonight to find out what dream pop is and to be in the right mode for it?
Yeah.
I think that Kia and Jacob have to explain that.
Well, the term's normally sort of reserved for, I think when it was first used, it was the late 80s and early 1990s, like UK alternative music kind of scene. And there was shoegaze and there was dream pop. And dream pop tended to be kind of your regular pop music, kind of utilizing some otherworldly sort of psychedelic kind of sounds. So that was kind of that's basically where that was often used. So probably one of the bands that a lot of people go to, or the couple of bands that people refer to are Slow Dive and Mazzy Star.
You might have come across.
Yeah, so kind of when you break it down, it's sort of your conventional pop music, I guess, but the kind of surface aesthetic is very dreamlike, and there's elements of psychedelia in there as well.
And perhaps at the very start, you should tell us about where the name came from, because we might be forgiven for expecting some macho rock superstar or something. Dean Forever.
I think we've decided to keep it a bit more ambiguous. Oh, okay. I think I want to stop telling people. What do you think? Jacob, sure. Should we stop telling people right now?
If you've told somebody before, you've got to tell
them. We could do a sort of warmer, colder sort of thing for when people guess. I reckon that might be the way to go.
Do you want to make a game of it? Is there time?
Yeah, we'll make a game of it. I've got a recording here from 10 years ago when you were explaining Dean Forever right in this very studio to someone completely different.
We weren't around 10 years ago. Was it our, like, was it another band?
I was fading to a dream sequence.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, great.
You make it very tantalizing for the listener, don't you? Like, Dean Forever.
there was a little joke in there, but we really liked the ring of it. And also just the name kind of seemed to fit the whole dream pop idea well, and then when we had the sort of first release organized, it all seemed to come together really well, and we're pretty happy with the band name, which doesn't always happen. Sometimes you 10 years later you're still not so sure.
It fits the dream pop thing as well, doesn't it? But I can imagine next time I get up on stage, I'll have people calling out, Clayton Ephemeral, hurry up and go away.
Goodness, okay. So it's just the two of you as a songwriting outfit, but when you play live, you add any other members, is that correct?
This is the two of us tend to the creative team behind it, and the recordings are largely done by the two of us as well. But yeah, when we play live, we've played with up to I think 8 members, and usually between 4 and 6. And when we were just at Big Sound in Brisbane, we had 6, and that manages to, because there's a lot of layers to the recordings, and where we definitely get a lot of use out of the multi-track recording with the album. So we 6 members tends to be able to cover most of the parts. so that's generally the live outfit.
And earlier in the year, you recorded your first CD, which at the time was a Radio Adelaide album of the week.
Yes.
We'll talk about it very soon, but we should probably start the evening by listening to a track. So would you like to introduce the first track, please?
I believe it was Could This Be Okay? No, it's not. It's Right to Try. So this one, this is the album version of the song. It is now, because we're currently working on a single version. So, yeah, this is the last track of the album. Thought it'd be interesting to start with.
And I like the intro to it as well. I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Right to try.
Forever.
And that was a track from the self-titled CD from our guest this evening, Dean Forever. There you go. Are we correct in saying this was your first recording as Dean Forever?
Yeah, it is. So we had, this is basically the culmination of our first sort of batch of songwriting together for this outfit. We've played together in another band called It's a Hoax as well. But this was, yeah, these are the songs that we wrote together as this outfit.
With so written purpose. Specifically for the album, or, yeah, or you just got to the stage where you were ready to record an album and
we wrote it all in almost 2 days, pretty much. It all just kind of came at once. Well, obviously we had ideas that we'd stacked up over time, but we compiled everything as
so that was one day's writer's block and one day really pushing it.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, it was really like one really big session of songwriting to put it all together, and then one very long night of fixing things and arranging in a computer lab at uni.
Yeah, it was like the great thing about this is in the Adelaide Uni. Is it level 5?
Shh, don't tell them, because you weren't supposed to be there.
Okay. I'm alumni, it's okay. But yeah, it's a great, you get a view of the city from the Schultz building, which overlooks the city while we're in this lab with the hum of all the computers trying to write our dream pop. It was a good experience.
So how does a writing session like that work? Do you came together, and what happened?
We've written together for quite a while because of our other project, It's a Hoax, and we've worked together with other things, and so we generally we have a system with how we write now, so it's actually comes pretty naturally now. I think we both know what kind of ideas we both bring to the table generally.
Yeah, I think that was probably the thing that's the thing that works for me the best with this project, is because I think I won't speak for Kia, but I feel like it's one of those things where you develop a real sense of the other person's sensibilities and their sound, and you can't get that unless you put that time in together and you spend those you know years of playing together in various combinations, and then you get this sense of what the other person's sound is, and you can write for that, and that really it's something that I think makes the music interesting, is that we've developed that history and therefore that understanding of where each other are coming from, and that's kind of helps the writing process. It means that we can do a big cramming session and get a lot of stuff happening and not worry too much about veering in any strange directions, because we have a sort of secret under the surface understanding of where each other are going.
So one of you's not going to go rogue.
No, we're not going to do a white album and just do silly songs to make up the numbers and that sort of thing.
Somewhere Strange might end up at Nightmare Pop instead of Dream Pop.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you don't get one of you working on a Christmas album while the other one's working on a kids album.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's to be determined. I look forward to that phase for sure.
Okay, just getting back to the CD for a minute. How did the recording come about, and where was it recorded, and who else was involved?
Well, it was really just we had the songs, so we got funding from CarClue, and they were kind of us. We just got in there before we were too old, and we were lucky to have that money. So,
Clayton and I don't qualify. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. How old are you?
I don't want to presume.
Hey, I mean, they're only 21.
Yeah. but yeah, anyway, so it was really just like a project that we could completely do on our own. And yeah, so we self-managed everything, and we used friends. You know, luckily we have very talented friends of all kinds, you know, for artwork, for photography, for recording. We've used Matt Hills as a recording engineer for years. He's recorded all of It's a Hoax stuff, pretty much, at least all the later It's a Hoax, when we found our sound. And he just really understands all of our influences. We've got a lot of shared tastes with him. He just gets it. So you say something and he'll be like, oh, you mean this? And it's instant. It's great.
And I think in terms of the the mechanics of the process, a lot of the keyboard layers and the multi layers on the album we did ourselves, and then we brought those along to the recording session. And what's great about Matt is that he's open minded enough to be non judgmental of my recording abilities and say, okay, we're rolling with this. And so obviously, you know, things like recording guitars, bass and drums, we've used his expertise, but a lot of the other parts we recorded ourselves, and he was just able to roll with that and sort of blend that into his recording style. So that was kind of that part of number one is he gets a great sound and a very distinctive sound. You can hear one of his recordings and you can tell straight away that it's him. But also, his ability to work with the things that we had already done, that was really helpful.
Looks like he provided a bit of guitar and cello as well.
Yeah, so he
always needs to get in there a little bit.
Yeah, but it's
got to leave his signature on it.
I really like that atmosphere of sort of having people really enthusiastically sort of chipping in with ideas all the time and but also people that are willing to negotiate. You know, this could go, this could be in, and that sort of thing. I think I really enjoy that, and he definitely has. Endless ideas.
And he doesn't play play cello. He painstakingly, through like a whole night, constructed a cello part from a recording of his friend who plays cello for another thing he did, and it took him so much time. We just didn't want to have to write cello, cut it up from this recording. that's dedication. He's
Deconstructed cello.
it is, and it was amazing to like we leave. He record all day. We go home. We come back, and then he's like, "Oh, check out what I've done." And it's these whole multitude of individually sliced cello notes to construct this seamless cello part. That he's like, "Oh, I like this idea."
Okay, a couple of other names I note: Joshua Roberts on guitar and Robin Habel on bass.
Josh Roberts is the guitar player in It's a Hoax, so we had to get him in there. He's just incredible. Like the guitar parts we have, they're not easy.
I think he's the only person that could play them. He's the kind of he provides such a unique sound, and only he can basically play that sound. And so it was sort of no question about getting him on the recording. And if one day someone tried to figure out the parts, good luck to them, because his hand has all sorts of grotesque contortions to be able to get those chords.
He pulls the faces to match.
Okay, we better take another track. So the next track is Humble Pie. What can you tell us?
Less to say about this one. Well, the Humble Pie, musically, do you have... it's very synthy. When we were recording it, I was like, this sounds like Twin Peaks. I like it.
That's
good.
I think I'm pretty sure this came later in the process. It was one like we had our initial batch of inspiration, and then there were a couple of other songs that were made up of bits and pieces, and this sort of came a little bit later. But the chorus originally was meant to be for It's a Hoax. I was thinking of that, and then the band wasn't particularly as interested in it, and so
which is why it's like our Rocky song of the album.
I just kept it to the side because I enjoyed it, and then and it just found itself at home in this song.
Okay, let's listen to Humble Pie. Thank you.
Another one of the great sponsors here at Radio Adelaide, the Gov Choir. Isn't that fantastic? Well, here on Songcatcher, where it's now 9:25, fast approaching 9:30, you've been listening to Dean Forever, and that was Humble Pie.
It was, but talking about the Gov Choir with all those voices and the way Dean Forever's synth and keys go together with all those voices, I just wonder if we go back about 30 years, Jacob, and you were learning how to play keyboards and things, just how frustrated would you be about their lack of, what is it called, polytones?
Polyphony.
Polyphony, yeah. How would you have managed that?
I think I've definitely been very spoiled by the technology that's available. So I don't have to sort of ration ideas. I can definitely just layer them upon layer them upon layer them. It would be interesting to kind of force that, to decide that we're only going to put a certain number of things in a piece of music and see what actually survives the cut. Because I was listening to Hunky Dory the other day, and just really appreciating how much is going on, but yet realizing how difficult it would have been to fight for those little effects that were in there. And it made me sort of realize how spoiled I am that I can just have 5 seconds on the computer and add another thing.
But the keys were something that you were attracted to at a younger age, or was it something that mum and dad pushed you towards?
I think there's a fair amount of mum and dad role in that. I can remember, I'm pretty sure my mum bought a really quite dodgy, non-touch sensitive keyboard from a family friend because I seemed interested in it at a party or something. And that was the instrument that I learned, because also a friend from primary school's mum was teaching piano. So it just all came together. So that's.
Didn't you start on drums though?
No, I did piano first. Oh. And then in high school I took drums more seriously.
Jacob's a drummer too. He did all the drumming on the album as well.
It's Phil Collins. I wondered why nobody else was credited.
I noticed the drumming on that last track, Humble Pie.
I did a little bit of a sort of orchestral style percussion, so I had to bring in the snare rolls wherever possible.
Yeah, it was a nice snare sound as well.
Thank you.
What about you, Kia? Any training, musical training growing up?
I've done piano as well, but I'm definitely no Jacob Tengdahl.
And not even sure I am.
Yeah, I did AMEB classical, so that got me nowhere in the real world. And sorry, right. AMEB, am I going to get sued now?
I did it as well, so
yeah.
Neither determines success nor failure.
Yeah, and I did violin and saxophone, but in the end, vocals are just what stuck with me. And I'm currently doing the jazz course, so I'm working on the academia side of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
And It's a Hoax, that started before this band. How long has that been going?
Sorry, this band?
It's a Hoax.
Oh, It's a Hoax. Oh, it's a long time. I almost don't want to say, so we don't seem old. Like 5 years or something?
Oh, yeah, five years.
Yeah. 5 years. Well, in today's day and age, you know, that's...
Not fresh.
So how did you decide to do another project?
I write some of the songs for It's a Hoax. It's a lot more collaborative with everyone all together. I was finding when I was writing, putting some chord progressions together, they weren't really fitting the brief for It's a Hoax. And I sort of was getting a sense of writing music for writing chord progressions. Like with this, it's written collaboratively, definitely. I might write a little chord progression and then it enters a collaborative space quite quickly. But I was definitely coming up with some little ideas that were really suited to Kia's strengths, but certainly not in the It's a Hoax style. And I think we're finding it too hard to try and stretch what It's a Hoax was doing to fit this whatever sound was coming out. So no,
it works for piano because you've written some stuff for piano. Mm, yeah. And also my melodies in It's a Hoax, you know, they have to, in the end, go in a shouty, rocky kind of way, and that's, you know, who I was maybe 4 years ago, but and I still really love that, and we definitely harness a bit of that, but this just lets us explore more melodic ideas and all the other influences that we love.
Okay, we better go to another track. This is Reverse.
Forever.
You're listening to Songcatcher. We're rapidly running out of time, but it is time for the talk about song. And Dean Forever, Kia and Jacob have elected to talk about Could This Be Okay?
That's a good thing to talk about.
So we haven't worked out what this is that we're asking the question about, but we might get that explained and we might not.
It is a question, but it seems like it wouldn't be a positive song, but really it's the only completely positive song on the album, and it's the first song on the album, so really it just gets worse from there. It just goes downhill.
I like that it poses the question, like, you know, could this be okay? And the lyrics, like, you know, we could have no more anxiety. We could not be concerned about what other people think about
us.
Could it be okay? And then the answer of the rest of the album is no, it
can't. because the lyric is, no, you'll have to stay. But I meant it in an expressive way, like, no, you have to stay.
We have to stay and listen to 7 more tracks for starters. And we've already heard 3 here, and I don't think, well, if the rest of it's gone downhill, well, the first track must be pretty damn cool.
These are wonderful tracks.
Were you facing some anxiety or something when you were writing that sort of a track?
No, it was more about the idea was, you know, it's just a romantic song, finding a relationship that works and a love that works. It's corny as hell.
Sounds like a soap opera.
Is there something wrong with dysfunction all of a sudden?
It's sort of just going back to sort of how it no more of this, how it felt in other relationships and how good this is, and it's just a romantic song, but and then all the other songs after that are sad and not happy.
So could this be okay? Because this is happy and the rest of it isn't. So was it a lyric song, or where does it normally start for you two?
I think Kia, do you tend to? I get the feeling that Kia responds lyrically like almost instantly to, we might have like it might start with an instrumental idea, but then there are some lyrics that immediately start forming, and then it becomes sort of trading inspiration from each other. Is that, am I speaking correctly?
Yeah, no, you are. That definitely happens, but at the same time I have an idea, like a seed at least, coming into the session, and sometimes I'll have a few and they'll end up magically all working together. That's when it's really good. Sometimes not. But, yeah, that's definitely it. But the interesting thing about this song, I think, is the form. I think what got us with that one is we got to really do our – which it ended up being a little bit of a consistent thing for us, where we have half the song is almost verse and then the second half of the song is chorus. – And so I think that's why when we released our first single, the big national station sort of didn't grab it as well as the other ones we released later, because of the unconventional form.
it's sort of a songwriting style I think we've sort of stumbled into, where we've got we've saved up a certain section of the song that kind of is potentially even the best section of the song, but it comes sort of right towards the end of the piece as like a coda, I guess, in a way. And I think it's something I've probably stolen from Neil Finn a little bit. Like, a lot of his songs will feel like a regular pop song, but then the outro is the best part. Mm-hmm. I think that's something I've accidentally stolen.
And I think the beauty of Jacob's parts in this song is his continually developing harmony, which you can really hear in the last choruses. Like, it's not chorus repeat, repeat, repeat. At least it kind of is from me, but Jacob's work in the background is just what brings it to another level, I think.
And there was a video made for this song?
Yeah, by James Baker and Alison Woodward, and James Ward Miller also helped out on that. And, they're very new to the scene, at least James Baker and Alison Woodward are, and they're just incredible. They're very creative people. And for such a early piece of work for them, they just did such an artistic job, and they really got what we wanted. They just got it. Like, they did research. I said, you know, a lot of influences for us is 60s, but also a little bit of the 90s, like broadcasts, and they looked at the influences and they had this idea. And I loved it from the get-go. It was really cool. And, we had some really cool people work on it too.
Well, we can't show you the video on the program.
And here it is.
but we'll encourage you to have a look for it.
Yep.
But we can have a listen, so perhaps we should have a listen now to Could This Be Okay?
Things.
back with Songcatcher, where it's now 9:44. And we've been listening to Could This Be Okay?
A very positive track at the start of Dean Forever's self-titled album.
And we think it could be okay.
As long as we're very carefully to defining what this is. So, we've learned a little bit about your process of creativity, which is typically somebody coming up with some musical ideas, somebody else coming up with some vocal ideas, including lyrics.
And just mashing them together.
Mash.
So, do you need to be in similar moods or have had similar kinds of weeks, do you think, to mesh? Do you sometimes come together and I'm in this planet and she's in that planet and it doesn't quite work?
We've had there's been a few sessions. Like, there was one quite recently. It's been such a long time since we'd had, a really focused session that was, we really have to write this thing, as opposed to let's just, noodle. So, there's a bit of that. But I think generally we're okay. I think, we've been lucky.
I definitely get a little bit in the zone, and then I can't really focus on many other things except for music when I'm in that zone. And then I think it's sort of, I feel very receptive to what we're doing together and kind of all music sort of things. And then when I have to re-enter the sort of normal civilized world and have to put on the facade of a functioning person, then I kind of lose connection with that a little bit. And then it takes a bit of work to get there.
But you just have to take a cue from the title of your next song, which is Be Kind.
Oh, jeez. Nicely done.
Yeah.
So insightful.
Let's have a listen to Be Kind.
I wouldn't like to die at all. underwater, the last place they would think to see me. I was cold but calm. I would have a blanket heavy with the
positive message for all you little Vegemites out there.
I like how it's an order. It's not like, see if you can work on your kindness today.
It's like, do it now.
Be kind or else.
That's right.
And or else might be coming up soon. We'll wait and see what's last up tonight. So, Dean Forever, we've heard a little bit about the creative process in general. We've heard that you respond to deadlines, 2 days to write an album, 8 tracks, and you just more or less got together and did it. So there's a bit of variety there.
Can I just minute that I don't respond well to deadlines?
No, I don't think we do. I don't think we do. That's the whole point, is we were there doing it, and we just felt like we had to, for ourselves, get it done. That was a different story. Whereas recently we've had a deadline and we were struggling more. So I don't think we do.
I think, well, let me just warn you, if you're going to do a Christmas single, there is another deadline coming because Christmas is on its way fairly quickly.
No.
There's a shop out.
We always got the Russian Orthodox one.
No, there's a shop out there my way that's got Christmas trees for sale already. So. Okay, so thanks for coming in and telling us all about your music and playing some of it to us.
Thanks for having us.
Where else can we find it?
We have a website, so, you know, that's a thing you can do. Just contact us otherwise, or come to one of our gigs. It's a bit cheaper that way, or it's on Bandcamp. We have vinyl as well, which is really exciting for us.
And Facebook and Instagram to keep up with
all of those things.
Yep.
You got to do it.
Got to do it.
SoundCloud, Triple J Unearthed, the whole lot.
Yeah.
YouTube. There's a video on YouTube you've got to go and check out.
Well, we heard about that a little while ago, didn't we? And it sounded really quite enticing. That a very early video effort from somebody, and it was pretty good value. So,
very good value. Yeah.
But what's next for Dean Forever?
You mean what song is next?
No.
All right, what is next for us?
Is the Christmas single going to be part of a new album? Or?
No, that's just going to be a single. It's just a bit of fun. Something I've always wanted to do growing up, listening to the Nat King Cole Christmas album and that tacky Disney one as well. It's great. There are better songs than the Chipmunk song, just so you know. And, besides that, we're going to be recording the song Right to Try, the last song on the album, which we played first tonight, which is exciting. Jacob's got some really cool ideas, so he really wants to do it, so we're doing it.
This is a remix.
So I think similar, there's a lot of bands that are like 1990s bands seem to do it a lot, where there'd be an album version and then there would be a sort of little more amped up single version. I just have this sense that there's a bit more juice to get out of that song, so I wanted to do that. But I've also basically got the next album sketched out in my head as well, which I have to then start putting some time into.
So what do you know about this, Kia?
Yeah, first time hearing about it, but he showed me some things he's had ideas for, and that's made me go, oh wow, I need to catch up. No, we've done a little bit of writing, and we've got a little bit of stuff up our sleeve, so it's exciting.
My life story is essentially like sending demos out to people in different bands, and then getting the scene message, and then that's it. So that's my.
That is not true. That's lies. Stop lying on air.
So how do you decide which musical idea goes into which project?
I think by now, anything I'm coming up with, I've got a real sense of what it's for straight away. So we've got some It's a Hoax songs happening as well on the side, and I think the bands are so distinctive. It's pretty easy to tell right away. And It's a Hoax is very guitar centric, so any ideas I've got to immediately think how Josh is going to interpret it. So it just becomes its own thing straight away.
If it doesn't feature guitar, you're buggered.
Yeah, well, that's if he doesn't like it. I mean, that's the thing. If he doesn't like it, then I'll just have to figure something else for it. But that's fine.
Well, keep your eyes out, folks. Dean Forever, a Christmas single and a 2019 album or EP quite possibly on the way sometime. It's mapped out in Jacob's mind, and later on we're going to do a CAT scan of that brain and just see what we can unearth.
And any gigs coming up, either band?
It's a Hoax. We're having our single launch. When is it? Very soon. Next weekend.
Stole.
The long weekend.
Don't you say stole. You're the one that's the stole.
October. It's a Wednesday night.
When is it? Third?
I'm guessing third.
It is the third.
Yeah. Is it the Cranker Wednesday night? It's when all the youngins go to the Cranker, so we thought try and get them in there.
Sounds good to me.
Yep, it's called Trying for Easy. It'll be out in hopefully this week.
and that'll be a little bit more upbeat guitar.
Yeah,
very much.
Rock and roll.
It's just about time to go for us. A couple of very, very quick announcements. Of course, Semaphore Music Festival this weekend.
Yes, and Grid the Band will be playing there at the RSL on Monday, 2 to 5, free gig.
Lots of original music and stuff to go out and enjoy for the weekend, so do that.
And as well, on Thursday night at Scala at the Wheaty, Michael Coughlan, Luke Swinburne and Crooked Road. Lots of goodness to be had out there, folks. See you around the traps. Keep well, and thank you, too.
And we're going out with a song called Ease the Hearing.
Ease the Nearing.
Ease the Nearing.
I saw that on the
paper. That's a typo on my part. Yeah, sorry.